everyone. Lou Epton coming to you through the facilities of AM 1230 WKLAV right here in Las Vegas. Also streaming worldwide via the internet at www.klav1230am.com. You got friends, relatives, whatever, anywhere else that you think would enjoy the show, give them the information, okay? Today's going to be a happier day, I understand. Hopefully, our very special guest is going to give us an update on what's going on with a very good friend of many of us here in Southern Nevada, Dave Hinkson. With us this morning, his father, Roland Hinkson. Let's have him join us right now. Roland, good morning.
Good morning, Lou.
Great to have you back on, and what you were telling me the other day was really encouraging, and I thought it would be nice if we repeated that for the general public.
Maybe I ought to just read the Associated Press release to start.
Okay.
Okay, he says the trial is scheduled for Swisher, who was arrested July and charged with wearing unauthorized military medals, theft of government funds, false statements, and the trial is set for October 22nd.
Which is just a couple of weeks from now.
Yeah, and he could face up to 20 years and $755,000 in fines.
Well, he would deserve it. If there was ever what we call a phony soldier, this Mr. Swisher is certainly it. And my friends, if you're not familiar, Mr. Swisher was the prosecution testimony in Dave Hinkson's case, and he just lied his face off, and they wouldn't allow defense testimony. But all right, let's pick it up and go from there. So they got Swisher for what he is, a blatant liar.
Yeah.
And we're hopeful this will turn the case regarding Dave.
Yeah. And according to the court documents published by the Marine Corps Times, that's a Gannett company publication.
Yeah.
The Associated Press, Swisher claimed to have been a Korean War hero.
Yeah.
And was on classified missions to free prisoners of war, and that he suffered from post-traumatic stress syndrome order and so on. And the truth is that he was on active duty from 1954 to 57, demoted to private first class from corporal after being court-martialed three times.
Oh, boy.
Swisher was discovered after he testified in the 2005 trial of David.
Yeah.
And Swisher was one of eight people named by the Associated Press for faking their military service and costing the Veterans Administration $1.4 million in fraudulent benefit claims.
Oh, boy. Well, how did the prosecution ever get a hold of this fraud? That's a curiosity I have.
How did the prosecution or how did the media?
Well, let's go back to the trial where he was called upon to testify against Dave.
Okay, well, you know, it's a very complex story what this guy did.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I can, if you want, I can go through some of the salient points here.
All right, if you would.
Okay, I'll just try to do it as quickly as I can, and I don't expect anybody to be able to remember all these dates because there is so much going on. But 1953, Swisher claimed he was disabled by a hand grenade in combat. 1954 to 57, he was actually in the military service as a Marine. And 54, he claimed his ears were blown out in combat service. And then in 55, said he had gunshot wounds. Now, let me tell you before I go any further that I have gone through the records on everything that I'm saying now. I have tried to verify and so that I can pull it up. I don't want to be caught making a statement that I don't have substantiation for it.
Uh-huh.
And in 1980, he was on trial for raping his 13-year-old daughter.
Oh, Lord.
1999, he claims to have met David at his attorney's office, but it was actually 2000. And Gray was the manager, general manager that David had of Waterhouse.
Okay.
And she hired Swisher. And Milan is another one that Groom brought in. These people all tried to later sued David while they had him in prison, tried to take over the company.
Yeah.
I'll go through with some of those dates. But now, going as quickly here as I can, Swisher started testing was asked by Jerry Gray to test products. That was in July of 2000. In the June of 2000, Dave gave him a tour of the plant. That was the only thing. And then he testified in court that they were social friends. They went out to dinner together and so on. Actually, what that was, that David took this guy out to dinner and paid for his dinner. And that was the so-called, this is significant because later in his testimony against David, you'll see why that is important. But he also stated in various documents, as I went through all these documents, there were several grand juries, and then there was the trial and Swisher's testimony.
Yeah.
And he couldn't remember all of his lies. He did a pretty good job. As a matter of fact, at the trial, he was so convincing because here was a guy who said he was 4 hours away from having his dissertation for a PhD, claimed he had a master's degree from Columbia in Missouri. He had his BA and all this and all the experience he had. And questions were asked of him about being an assayer and that he had spent 30 years assaying. And I have to tell you that in my discovery here and things that I've learned, I am totally convinced that the government agents, the ASU individuals, Department of Justice, the FBI, and these people were lying through their teeth. They were part of a conspiracy from day one.
Yeah.
That they had participated and set up David right from the start, and we have the evidence to show it.
No question about his being set up. And for those not familiar, let me bring this to the fore. Dave was hauled into trial and arrested for, are you ready? Tax evasion. Tax evasion. And the IRS was in court daily and they were jubilant. And of course, Dave has a case against these FBI, these IRS people. One of them for, give me a moment, I'll remember the word, not falsifying.
Perjury.
Perjury, yes. And were they
CIA agent Will Long?
Right, but the judge was set up as well, and he just followed procedure. And of course, most judges in what we call the Department of Non-Justice, if you've got a case against the IRS, is automatically going to rule against you. Except there was an incident I got to tell you right here, where there was a company brought to trial on an IRS charge. And they had a jury trial, and the IRS lost big time. This company was paying its employees in gold and silver coinage.
Yeah, that's the cars, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And it made me feel so good to recognize that there are still those people who realize what a fraud this particular agency is. In any event, that's the primary reason Dave was ever brought to trial. And when they proceeded to automatically find him guilty, they put him in the worst prison in the nation.
Yeah, for the most violent people, like Massawi, they have him there. They
right.
had Ted Kaczynski is there.
Right.
What's his name that was executed, Oklahoma bombing?
Nichols?
Nichols is there now.
Uh-huh.
And the one they executed,
I can't recall the name, but let me add to that. Not only did they put him in this particular prison, they put him in solitary confinement, and they labeled him, are you ready? Terrorist. Terrorist.
Yeah.
I don't know how he could put up with it, but according to what you told me, Dave is holding strong, is he?
David is doing extremely well because, number one, David never committed a crime at all, ever. No crimes whatsoever.
This I know.
And he was totally set up, and he knows that the truth is coming out now, and that that this is going to be a big black eye for the for our corrupt system of justice.
You pointed out that the Associated Press carried the story regarding Swisher. I'm just kind of curious. Did the newspaper up in Boise, Idaho, carry that particular column about
all over Idaho now?
Oh, really?
It's popping up. They had a television show in Seattle and showed a picture of Swisher as one of the eight fakers.
Uh-huh.
In Spokane, Washington, they had his picture, and I've been getting calls and news clippings from different newspapers all over.
Wow.
There are people who are sending me this stuff that is coming.
I wonder if the judge, I can't remember his name, but the one who presided at Dave's trial.
Richard C. Tallman.
Okay, I wonder if he happened to read the article.
Well, he's in Seattle, and he's on the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals.
Oh, wow. So what's the statute?
He volunteered to step down to take that case from Windmill, and the various judges. Five judges acquitted themselves, recused themselves, that is.
Yeah.
So Tallman stepped down, and when you see the things that Tallman did and what he knew and how he participated in the cover-up and fraud of these government employees. Now, you got to remember, he had never been a judge when he was appointed by Clinton, and it was a compromise appointment, and that's how he got in the first place, because as Clinton was going out, he appointed 13 people, and this guy was one of them. His former experience was that of a prosecutor only, except for the 3 years or so that he defended white-collar criminals. And so he went from being a prosecutor to being a judge. Black robe prosecutor is what we call him.
Yeah.
And he carried that out to a T. And not only that, he's such an excellent actor that the jurors felt that, you know, this guy was trying to be fair and honest, and there is no way that they could know what we could sat there and had to listen to. And you talk about a kangaroo court.
Oh, boy.
That was the most despicable thing, and I lost all of my confidence in the justice system because of that trial. I could not believe my ears, and I was about as gullible as the majority of people who are listening to me now, thinking that the government, if there's smoke, there's fire, that they wouldn't participate in criminal actions, that these people would cover up. I never believed any of that. And
they do now.
Oh, boy, I know now. I believe it. I know it.
Okay, you're armed to the teeth with great information that's being publicized all over the country. What's your position right now? What's your next step in helping to get Dave free?
Well, we're the last thing that has happened is that in the course of the trial, let me read this from let's see here.
I'll tell you what, take a moment. We'll do a quick timeout. When we come back, by then you'll have found it. Fair enough?
Yeah, all right.
Okay, Lou Upton, Roland Hinkson, Dave Hinkson's dad. How do you like what you've heard so far? Right now, I know you're going to like what you're about to hear, after which Mr. Hinkson and I will be right back with more. Okay, back we are. Lou Upton here, along with our very special guest of the morning, Roland Hinkson, the father of one of the great people I've known, Dave Hinkson, who, by the way, is also credited for building a business from the ground up called Water Oz. All right, Roland, we're back. Did you find the paper you were looking for?
Yeah, this is a letter written to the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit by our appellate attorney, Dennis Reardon of San Francisco.
Uh-huh.
And he's a professor. He teaches law, and he has been spending 30 years as an appellate attorney. Knows practically come before every one of the Ninth Circuit judges one time or another.
Uh-huh.
And knows who they are and what they are. And he wrote this letter. This was the letter following the appeal that we had in Seattle on May 7th. Now, people can find that on the Internet and listen to the actual appeal as he presented it before Judges McCune, Hugg, and Fletcher. Now, I want to say this much, that these three judges, I do believe, are honorable, good, fair-minded judges. I really have no reason to doubt that now.
Okay. Well, let's hope you're right.
Yeah. And so anyway, all of the counts that against David were involved Swisher as a single witness to testify that David contended that Swisher committed perjury and that the district court prejudicially erred in barring David from proving Swisher's utter lack of credibility before conviction. Now, I'm just taking a few of the statements out of his letter. I'm not going to read the whole letter to them. Swisher has now been indicted, and then the theft of veterans' benefits between 2004 and August of 2006 by the use of the same forged DD-214 documents. Those are certified documents that when you get discharged from the service, those that aren't familiar with that, you can't get a duplicate. All you can do is get another one. And I know the whole story behind how he got it. I know why these people who charged David in the first place, but I'll finish the letter here, and then we can talk more about that.
Okay.
The government now has conceded that Swisher engaged in perjury, obstruction of justice, and at the time testified that he was engaged in defrauding the federal government. And that fraudulent conduct gave Swisher a powerful motive to testify falsely against David Hinkson to conceal his ongoing fraudulent scheme. Now, the appellate court judges know all this now. The government conceded that all the evidence needed to establish Swisher's lies were in their files, in the government files, well before they called him to testify. Hinkson was deprived of a fair trial, both by failure of the government to disclose evidence, which they're required to do under discovery, and devastating to the credibility of the witness of which the government's case rested, and by the district court's refusal to permit Hinkson to introduce evidence, which would have conclusively exposed Swisher's perjury and obstruction of justice, thereby ensuring acquittal on the three counts that he was convicted of. Swisher was indicted July 30th of 2007. The task of unearthing this indictment fell to us, to the defense. Prosecutors perjured testimony at the trial. They stood up. We listened to them lie. Stephen Sullivan, who was the main prosecutor, flew out of Washington into that trial, and when he was asked, why didn't you turn the discovery over when you knew that Swisher was a fraud? Why didn't you turn that over to the defense as required by law? And he said, why should I?
Oh, my.
It was on the record. Why should I?
My Lord.
And that may, and I understand that he's no longer with the government.
Yeah.
And so there are so many things here that we can... Now let me tell you, because I know time is so short, we have to rush.
No, you go ahead, take your time. We got 35 more minutes.
Okay. Well, I want to read to you something short here that this Swisher, see his background. He didn't even start getting involved with the Marine Corps League, and the Marine Corps League threw him out, and he was expelled, and here's something that I published in the newspaper. It was published on the April 17th of 2006, entitled "Former Marine Expelled for Life from Marine Corps League." This was a very significant happening here. Former Marine PFC Elvin Swisher was officially expelled from the Marine Corps League, and the National Hearing Board of the League held a lengthy hearing in Lewiston, Idaho. And 200 pages of documents were gathered, and the first hearing, this was the first hearing in 12 years by the National Marine Corps League out of Washington. And they stated here their findings, that you have submitted documents, DD-214, found to be fraudulent, and verdict was guilty. Two, you did adorn ribbons and medals, verdict guilty. By unanimous vote of the hearing board, you are expelled from the Marine Corps League for life. National Records Center verified Swisher was a fraud. PFC Fisher claimed, Swisher claimed that he took part in an expedition after the armistice was signed with Korea, although previously proclaimed that he had been a combat veteran in the Korean conflict and earned these awards. And then highly classified, and Swisher's documents were forged according to the Record Center, and Swisher's story was modified. He said that he was selected as a special expeditionary force. Here's a court-martial, three-time court-martial, corporal reduced to PFC that was claimed that he was in the Korean War when he was 13 years old. Huh. The war was over when he was 16, that they chose to go after the war. I mean, his story, his lies were just something else.
Oh, my gosh, and I guess.
Because of his so-called heroism under fire, he maintained claim to the Silver Star Medal, the Purple Heart, the Navy and Marine Medal, and the Gold Star, and other medals and ribbons.
The evidence is now here regarding the main
fraud
prosecution witness, yeah, and the man is a total 100% fraud, start to stop. And now everyone knows it. Okay? Now everyone knows it. So going before the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeal, you got to believe that Dave has an excellent chance of having all of this reversed and hopefully being set totally free. But even at that, the government owes him, don't they?
Well, yeah, and that's something for down the line. He sued the IRS for $50 million, and that's what brought this on.
I know.
It started with a guy named Goose, who was stealing from David.
I remember him.
Uh-huh, and he fired Goose.
Yeah.
And Goose then went to the IRS and said David wasn't paying income tax.
Uh-huh.
And which David didn't owe any income tax.
As if you don't owe it, why pay it?
But what they did is they raided his home.
I remember.
On November 21st.
That's when he lived way out south off the strip here in Las Vegas.
Yeah, I'm talking about the one in Vegas they raided.
That's what I'm talking about.
I mean in Idaho.
Oh, okay. I know that he fought the county here and won every single time. But go ahead. They raided the home up in Idaho.
They raided it, and they had no authority to do so. A guy named Steve Hines, when David sued his boss Vernon, and his real name was Morgan, I guess,
yeah,
and alias Vernon, and Stephen Hines, he vowed that he was going to get David one way or the other.
Uh-huh.
Will Long, the FBI agent, said, "I'm going to put you in prison for the rest of your life." And, of course, he made good on that statement, and he lied under oath at the hearing, and David had a tape recorder in his shirt pocket that was running, and when they arrested him, and I won't go into all the details about it, but he says, "Don't I get a lawyer?" And he says, "No, you do not now."
Oh.
Then he testified that he turned off the tape recorder, but they didn't erase that. Now, there's something else, this is a bigger picture that is really where the government is involved so totally. Swisher was nothing but a tool in the hands of these people. He was a total fraud.
Yeah.
He was a liar. He was a blackmailer. We haven't brought those charges against him yet. We're going to have to, save a lot of this for later. But the government only knows about a few things that he did. So while David was in prison, then Swisher joined the Marine Corps League, and that was in 2002. And among other things, he ran for, and because of his great heroism and all the medals, these men thought that he was really a real Marine.
Right.
And they elected him as the commandant. And then it, in March of 2004, he said, thanks to all who supported me at the February election. I'm looking forward to a successful year with the detachment. Since the election, there have been two meetings with two newly held officers. And he said that when I recite the Pledge of Allegiance to our flag, I get a lump in my throat when I get to the part that says, I pledge allegiance to the flag, United States of America, and the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible. And then he says, our republic, our flag, and our creator are extremely dear to me. And then, after all, for me, God and country are what it's all about. And if, as your commandant, I occasionally break into a chorus of the Marine Corps hymn, humor me and join in, because I see it as a way of honoring all those Marines who have shed blood and died to preserve our republic and what it stands for. Semper Fidelis, Joe Swisher, commandant. Okay, oh, what a great, and they bought it hook, line, and sinker. And they said, can you identify this old salt? And this was in the same issue. 17 years old when he joined the Marine Corps in the fall of 1950. Actually, remember, it was 1953 to 57.
Yeah.
He went to Incheon on D-Day plus two. The cities of Seoul and Wonsan were visited. Then he took a leisurely jaunt up the frozen Chosin. He discovered that he was not welcome and commenced the return trip to the coast. However, the Chinese communists seemed aggravated by his presence, and he thought that they were anxious to have a remembrance of his visit. So he traded a small amount of his blood in the snow for an equally small amount of Chinese shrapnel.
Oh, come on.
The new and the now famous North Korean frostbite.
Okay, well, again, we now know the truth about what was going on.
Who was this guy?
Oh.
They're saying, your commandant, Elvin Swisher. Well, we got him thrown out of the...
the league.
The league. And finally, he's the indictments.
His day is coming.
Yeah, it's coming.
Okay, we got to hold up here for just a little bit again. Stay with us, everyone. Lou Hepton, Roland Hinks, and our very special guest. How does this grab you so far? By the way, should you have questions and or comments, our numbers here are easy to reach at 731-1230. If you're out of the area, or toll-free 1-866-820-5528. Right now, these words, and Roland and I will be right back. Okay, back we are. Lou Hepton, our very special guest, Roland Hinkson, Dave Hinkson's dad. We've got friends here in Southern Nevada who remember Dave, and we got some online right now, Roland. Before we go to the phone, just a quick question, if I may. How's Water Oz doing? Are they holding up?
Yeah, we've really gone through a lot of problems, because you know this defense of David has cost us well in excess of $3 million.
I understand.
The products are superior. There is nothing on the market that matches what David was able to do.
That's right.
The angstrom size minerals, and people think that taking vitamins is doing them any good. If they don't have minerals, they're totally useless.
You know, I remember Dave was self-taught in natural health, not only natural health, but he was also self-taught in law, and he was brilliant in both. And when he started Water Oz, wow, I just sat back and watched it grow. Okay, right now we've got Steve online, and then we've got Lee. Let's take a couple of calls, if it's okay. Steve, good morning. You're on with Roland Hinkson.
Good morning, and good morning, Roland. I hope you guys can hear me okay there.
Yeah.
I basically just wanted to say, I called you a couple of weeks ago, or maybe last week. We talked about Dave when we just went on talking about Irwin Schiff. We brought him up as well.
Uh-huh.
These men are martyrs to our cause, trying to wake us up. I knew Dave. I never met him personally, but I talked with him many times on your show and at his company as well. Some of his products actually helped me as well. So just an outstanding, and I'm glad to hear that. I kind of caught the tail end of your show. It sounds like you might be his father, might have something that may be able to reopen this case, hopefully.
I think not only reopen it, it'll reverse it, and we'll have Dave back in and society again, I pray.
Well, I hope all of that happens, and as well as his comment about, I'm sure his funds are running low with this defense, this expensive defense. I would just tell people out there, take a look at these products. They work.
Oh, boy.
Just by all means, take a look at these products, and best of luck to you, and an honor to speak with you, Mr. Hinkson. Your son was a hell of a guy. At the time I needed one of his products, I was running a little low on cash. He actually sent it to me gratis.
That's right. So that's the kind of a person that Hinkson.
That's the kind of a guy he was.
That's
so,
right.
Outstanding, and please say hello to him, and keep his head up in that hell hole he's in. But I know he doesn't need to know that. I know that he's able to hold his own wherever he stands. So pleasure talking, and I'll let someone else have the phone. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Steve. By the way, the website is wateroz.com, and is filled with great information. All right, Lee, good morning. You're next. You're on right now with Roland Hinkson.
Good morning, Lou. Good morning, Mr. Hinkson.
Good morning, Lee.
Sincerely hope that... you, your family, and Dave are standing up well under this long, debilitating, worthless fight that should have never happened, except the government got worried about Dave, because he's one of those few that not only listens and talks and thinks for himself, but once he has it thought out, he has got the courage to put it into action. Or so many fail, seems like, on these things.
He wants to hear from friends. You know, it's lonely, doggone it. And,
he's in solitary confinement.
Still?
You just addressed it today.
It's been 4 years.
Use these numbers, Lou.
Go ahead, Roland.
Yeah, four years in solitary confinement. And he gets to make 3 phone calls now a month. For 15 minutes each, they cut him off to the second.
Damn. Now, I'll address this to Dave and then use these numbers, right, Lou?
You address this to David R. Hinkson.
Okay.
# 08795 -023.
Yeah.
Post Office Box 8500, Florence, Colorado.
Yeah.
81226.
81226. Okay.
Okay.
I'll talk to you later, Lou. We got something to talk about. Some stuff I sent you, but we'll talk later.
Thank you, sir.
Have a great one, Roland, and the best to you. And, hey, things are looking up because we need this guy out here.
We sure do.
All right.
Well,
have a great
you.
Day, Pete.
Okay. Thank you, Bill. You know, I got a comment. As well as I've known Dave, to understand this, here's a man that would give his product to those who couldn't afford to help them. This is a man that would personally deliver the product if need be. This is a man that helped many people all over the area, all over the valley, find health again. This is a man I used to watch come into our studio at the old building of KLAV with shopping bags full of books. This is a man who was one tenacious individual in reading, in understanding, and in creating. When he got into natural health, when he got into law, by golly, here's a guy who wrote a legal brief that was taken into a courtroom, and the judge swore up and down it was written by a legal professional attorney. Dave had to appear to prove that he wrote it. I mean,
David is really a phenomenon.
He really is. That's a good word. David R. Hinkson, a phenomenon. You know what I mean.
Yeah.
And when I realize, among other things, they tried to charge him with hiring a hitman to murder a judge and to murder his ex-wife.
Yeah, they did all that. They charged him with all that.
And, you know, his wife, God love her, God bless her, wanted to testify on his behalf. He had just bought her a brand new vehicle. There was no animosity between them.
None whatsoever. He even paid for their honeymoon who she ultimately married.
Remarried.
Yeah.
I mean, this is hate. You know, you'd want to kill this? Come on, please.
Well, you know, the truth is out now.
Yeah.
And, the now the question is, How many participants were in this with Swisher? There was a conspiracy.
Oh, and how? I know the people, I know of the people who set him up. One of them I used to consider a great guest on the show by the name of Anthony Hilder. They went to his home. They were wired to record his comments. They tried to get him to make certain statements, which he never made.
Yep.
I mean, come on. And his Hilder's partner, Harding was his name?
Well, Gunderson was a close associate.
Now, are you talking about that famed ex-FBI?
Yeah, he was the head of the Southern Division.
That's right.
FBI, 700 FBI agents under him.
That's right. Now, I don't trust him anymore?
Yeah, see, they set him up right from the start. You know, we have all the evidence now. We know what happened.
Yeah.
And but the public doesn't know yet.
Well, they've got to find out because this is too ugly to have ever happened.
Let me tell you, I know we're running out of time, but I wrote David a little letter. Maybe I'm just going to read a paragraph if you want to hear it.
Okay, and then we got to do that last time out. But go ahead, Roland.
Yeah, okay. I wrote, "Dear Dave, here's an awareness that will help you to cope with the time being for the fraud heaped upon you. As you know, there's no doubt in our minds that you are a victim of a ruthless, uncaring bunch of criminals. The criminals come in many forms, sometimes as FBI agents, sometimes IRS agents, and sometimes as judges. And then I'm going to skip down into the last paragraph here. Few people, relatively speaking, have any awareness what it is now or has been in the past or has in the past taken place in the U.S. and in the world at large. Regardless of the short-sightedness of most people, the truth has a way of revealing itself. As you know, Swisher is finished. Half a dozen newspapers have his story." And this was written, I wrote this a year April 24th of 2006.
Uh-huh.
And we're starting to move, getting it pushed off the dime. Swisher will receive more than humiliation. He is a shameless and amoral, a snake is amoral. But he is an incorrigible rogue. His crimes for which he will be charged include forgery, fraud, theft, and blackmail. Well, we haven't brought the blackmail yet, that is quite a story. Those who have covered up his crimes have been identified, and will each and every one will be exposed. Hopefully, we can bring the conspirators before the bar of justice for prosecution. But since some of the culprits are in government, we may get only justice in the court of public opinion. Humiliation and dishonor may be their only punishment. Time will tell.
Yeah, well, they've got to answer to their creator as well. Roland, we've got to hold on one more time. We'll come back with the concluding portion of this morning's program right after. I mean, we're out of time. I'm going to thank you so very much. Our prayers are with you, with Dave. Hopefully good things will happen. Again, thank you sincerely, my friend, and take good care.
Thank you.
Okay, sir.